Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for our Sunday night sermon time. A few years ago, there was a bank robbery that made the news, but not in the way you might expect. There was a young lady named Hannah Sabata, who was a 19-year-old girl, that posted a video on YouTube where she bragged about stealing a car, a shiny Pontiac Grand Am, and robbing a bank. It was one of those YouTube videos where you don't say anything out loud, you just hold up signs that have messages on them. And the message of the video is, I just stole a car and robbed a bank. Now I'm rich. I can pay off my college financial aid. And tomorrow, I'm going to go on a shopping spree. And she later posted that her mom thinks she's just excited because she met a boy and she doesn't know everything that she's done. Well, Hannah didn't think through a lot of what was in that video. The first thing she didn't think through was the fact that she was wearing the same clothes in that video that she wore to take $6,000 from the local Nebraska bank. So the police found her pretty quickly, recovered all but $30 of the stolen money. She was so eager to brag about what she had done that she didn't stop to think about how her words could get her in trouble. And it's funny to laugh at something like that, but it's also really challenging for us to reflect on how many times our words have gotten us in trouble. How many times we've said things without thinking, or maybe we've said things and we knew the kind of effect they would have and we were angry enough we said them anyway. Our words can really cause difficulty for us. In fact, if I were to pause right now, you could probably click through in your mind a list of times you said things you shouldn't have said, things you wish you could take back. I've made sarcastic comments before from 15, sometimes even 20 years ago that I still remember. And I remember people being around and I wish I could track down some of these people. Some of them I didn't even know that might have just been near me that heard me say something. And I wish I could apologize and say, I shouldn't have said that. It's really challenging for us to think about how our words affect other people. There are a lot of stories told about Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president of the United States, particularly because he was a man of few words. He was known for that, sometimes called Silent Cal, and he was known for speaking in a manner that used as small an amount of words as possible. And so one of the stories that's often told is of a woman who sat next to him at a dinner party and said, I've made a bet, Mr. Coolidge, with my husband that I could get more than two words out of you tonight. President Coolidge simply looked at her and replied, you lose. And that's all he said to her. Now, he's later said that never happened, but it gives us a little insight into what it was like to be around someone who was a man of few words. You've probably known someone like that. Someone who didn't always speak up. They didn't always have to be the person talking, but when they did speak up, you wanted to hear what they had to say. Sometimes we use the phrase, still waters run deep, when we're talking about someone who chooses his or her words carefully. In reality, what that does is that places a greater value on what he or she says. Now, we've been spending time on Sunday nights thinking through the wisdom literature of Scripture. And you're probably not surprised to find out that wisdom literature, especially the Proverbs, has a lot to say about the way we use our words, keeping up with our word count. You've probably put together something on a word processing program before. If you're on Word or Pages, they'll have a word count where you can see exactly how many words you've typed in. Sometimes our word count can increase, but those words aren't necessarily having the effect that we want. So I want us just to think about some of these passages in the wisdom literature and ask ourselves a few questions about the words that we use. Here's the first question. Do I spend more time talking about others than I do helping others? Sometimes the easiest thing for us to do is talk. We've mentioned Job in this series, since Job is one of the books in the wisdom literature. And one of the things that happens when Job is suffering, he's lost all his children, he's lost his crops, his flocks, his livelihood, he's even lost his health as he's suffering, and he has friends that come to see him, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And the best thing they do the entire book is sit with him without speaking. In fact, it's only after they start speaking that we read some of the complicated dialogue that is the majority of the book of Job. And not all of the things they say are bad. They say a lot of things that sound a lot like Scripture, but they just keep talking. And in the end, we find out they haven't spoken what is right. So put yourself in their place. Have you ever felt that desire just to say something? Maybe you're sitting with someone who's struggling or who's suffering, and you just want to say something. If there were just some magic words you could say, something that could come out of your mouth and it could fix everything, it could solve every problem. I think we've all at one point or another felt that desire. I wish I could say the right thing to my child, the right thing to my parents, the right thing to my friend. And yet sometimes the best thing we can do is not say anything. There are times when what we say can actually make things worse. And so we need to be willing not to jump in and just start talking, but to think about how we can help. Here are some proverbs that remind us of the importance of this. Proverbs 12:13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. Or how about this one a chapter later? Proverbs 13:3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Have you ever known someone and they just like to talk back and you just heard them talking back all the time and you thought to yourself, one day they're going to talk back to someone who's not going to take it. And one day they're going to find out what talking back like that can do. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. Boy, don't you see that all around us today? People who are ready to give an answer before they've really even listened to what you have to say. It's not very helpful in a conversation or a discussion to spend all your time just waiting for the other person to stop talking so you can start talking. But that's a human tendency we have. That's probably why in James chapter 1, we read verse 19 that everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. There's a reason that James emphasizes the fact that we need to be quick to listen and quick to hear, because we're not often quick to do that. We're quick to speak. I'm ready to try to justify myself, to try to show you that my position is right, but I'm not always ready to really listen and consider what you're doing. Am I more interested in talking about someone or helping them? Here's another related challenge that shows up in wisdom literature, and we can see it today. Proverbs 10:18. He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. Think about how important it was in Scripture for those who followed God to say things that were right and not to spread gossip or slander. Or verse 13 of Proverbs 11, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. Or Proverbs 17:4, an evildoer listens to wicked lips, a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. You get the idea that someone who's interested in doing what's wrong, they're going to be listening. They're going to be listening for these secrets, for this gossip. Or Proverbs 18:8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Sometimes listening to gossip actually feels good. It feels like it satisfies something inside us, a desire that we have to know more than other people about this person, or maybe a desire to feel justified and to feel good about ourselves in comparison with what someone else is going through. But Scripture takes that very seriously. And I don't read anywhere in the wisdom literature that it's okay to gossip about someone because I'm just telling it like it is. Or it's okay to gossip about someone because that's just the way I am. I'm going to let people know what I think. Scripture seems to tell me that's not always the right response. That I need to think carefully about how my words are used. And by the way, I'm pretty sure this would translate into words that are typed or posted. That before I spread something as if it's true, I need to stop and think, am I really sharing something That's true. You know, it's easier than ever for us to retweet or to repost something that we've just maybe even skimmed the headline of. But if I'm a Christian, if I'm a child of God, and if my words matter, and the words that I promote matter, and the things that I say matter, I shouldn't be posting anything unless I've thought about it, unless I know this is the truth, this is worth sharing. If I start saying, well, I heard this, and have you heard someone said this? All of a sudden, that starts to look a little bit more like the gossip that's described here than it does about words that could help people. I'm not saying we can't ever disagree with each other in person or online. I'm just saying it matters what we're sharing, and that I cannot separate myself completely from the content of what I'm promoting and what I'm saying, any more than I can say something and try to separate myself from what I've said. If I'm sharing something, I can't separate myself from that either. When I do that publicly, I'm taking responsibility. So I need to think carefully. Am I saying something that's true, or am I spreading something that I don't know if it's true or not, but it kind of makes me feel good? It's kind of like those dainty morsels that satisfy some kind of desire, maybe to affirm what I already believe or to validate an opinion I have. We need to be careful about the words that we use. So how can we focus more on helping others rather than talking? If Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar had really thought about what Job needed, do you think they would have spent so much time telling him why he was suffering, explaining why they thought he was dealing with all these challenges? Or would they have done something differently? I heard a professor one time say, the more you feel like sharing your own story, the more you should think about whether or not it is necessary. Sometimes we feel obligated to share a story that happened to us. I know I struggle with this. If I can relate to something, if something connects with something I've done, I just want to share that story. But that's not always helpful. Now, it can be. I'm not saying it's not. But the more I feel an urge to share that, the more I need to check in with myself and say, okay, why do I want to share this? Do I want to share it because there's something that can help? Or am I really interested in making myself look good? And that if I share this, I might come across in a certain way. Do I spend more time talking about people than I do helping them? Here's a second question. Do I spend more time talking about doing something rather than doing something? Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I think we know that to be true. Right? We know we can't just stand around and talk about getting a job done. We actually have to get a job done if we want the rewards of that job. Again, when we think about James, the idea of having faith without works, having words that we say without actions that we do, isn't going to make a lot of sense. Think about it this way. Those of you who are old enough can remember a time where when you wanted to take a picture, you had to have a camera with film. And my memories about cameras that had film in them were we would take some select pictures. If it was at a family gathering, you might take a few pictures, some candid shots, but you wanted to make sure you got a big group picture and everybody's in the shot. And when you used a camera with film, you didn't get to look at it right away and see what you had. And so that's why a lot of the pictures I'm in growing up have me with my eyes closed. Because when the flash would go off, my eyes would close, and we wouldn't find out until we'd get them back from the developer. We'd take them in, and then you'd wait for a while, you know, and then you'd get them back. And, boy, when you could get them back in just an hour or two, that was a big technological advancement. But we were a little pickier about what we took pictures of. We were a little more selective. Now, fast forward to today, where you can take a picture with just about every kind of mobile device that you can have, and they're digital, and you can see them immediately afterward, and it takes a lot longer to fill up the memory on your phone or your camera than it does the film that was in a camera. We take all kinds of pictures. We're not very selective about what pictures we take. We'll try this, we'll try that. We might try several different times to get just the right look in one certain picture that we're looking for. We're not quite as selective. I think there's something similar that's happened today in the way that we communicate. You know, we don't have to find a pen and paper and sit down and write a letter and put it in an envelope and put a stamp on it. I think there was something to that when we had to do that to communicate. where we were a little bit more selective with what we would share, with what we would write down, with what we would tell people. But now you can fire off a text in the time it would take you to find a pen. We can text, we can email, we can post, we can get word out to people in so many different ways. It's almost like our words have multiplied the same way digital cameras allowed photographs to multiply. And so now we're not quite as selective. I could say something really quick without even thinking about it, without even double checking with myself to say, do I really want to send that? And just hit send, just put it out there. And I understand that for many, that might represent this idea to really live authentically and let everybody see everything I'm thinking. But I wonder if that leads to this idea of just talking about things rather than doing them. Maybe you've heard the expression, you've got to post a pic or it didn't happen. You know, if there's not a picture, if you haven't posted about it, it didn't happen. Sometimes I think we feel like if I don't document this somehow, it's like I never really did it. And so then the value comes in the documentation of it. And so it doesn't matter so much what I do, it's what am I telling people that I'm doing? And it seems to me that that's a dangerous trap to fall into. Maybe the next time I'm tempted to talk about something, I need to ask myself, am I willing to do something about it first? Before I say something to someone about, you know, so-and-so should really take care of this, am I willing to do something about it? Before I complain about a need that's not being met, am I willing to take action to meet that need? Before I say, I wish it were this way, I wish things weren't that way, am I willing to take the actions that are necessary to change that? And if I'm not willing to do those things, should I really be talking about those things? It matters that we don't spend our time in mere talk, but doing what really profits. And our third question is, do I spend more time sharing encouragement or insults? Sometimes the most helpful thing that can happen in someone's life is to hear the right words spoken at the right time. In the 1987 AFC Championship game, the Broncos were playing the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland, and they were down 20-13 with a little over 5 minutes left to play. They were surrounded by 80,000 screaming fans. They fumbled the kickoff return, so they're at their own 2-yard line. Everybody on the team is frustrated. They get together in a huddle in their own end zone with all these families screaming at them. And an offensive lineman named Keith Bishop said, well, we've got them right where we want them. And everybody in the huddle started laughing. They were a little more relaxed. They went on to score, to win the game in overtime. Just some well-timed words can make a big difference. Think about the way Proverbs captures this idea for us. Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Or Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Proverbs 18, 21. Listen to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The words that we use are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. When I look back at my life, there are a lot of things that I believe, that I believed about myself. There are a lot of parts of myself and my personality that were confirmed by words that people spoke to me, by things that people who mattered to me said. And they might not remember ever saying them, but I do. I remember what they said. I remember what they meant to me. I internalized those things, and that made a huge impact in my life. When is the last time I stopped to think about the powerful impact, the indelible impression our words can leave in the lives of others? It may be a long time from now when we've forgotten what it is we've said, but some of the words we've used could change someone's life. And if it can happen positively, if I can use my words to give life to people, that also means I can use them in the other direction. I can use them to sap the strength of those who were trying to work hard by discouraging them, by insulting them, by saying, you know, you're not really good enough, that's not really going to be good, just sort of mocking. I might not even mean to, but I can leave an impression that can be very hurtful. I'm not talking about joking around with your friends. I'm talking about those words that really cut. Those phrases we know we can draw upon when we really want to hurt someone's feelings. are those sentences that come out of our mouths when we're really upset and we're really angry, and they can devastate our relationships. They can hurt friendships, and they can wound. And those wounds are difficult to heal. We've talked about that expression, sticks and stones breaking bones, but words never hurting us. And we know that while that might be a popular phrase, it's not exactly true. It's much easier to recover from a physical slight, from a physical injury in many cases, than something someone has said that's cut you deeply in a place where wounds don't heal quite as quickly. So what can I do to use my words to give life this week? What can we do? Here's a challenge for us. I'd like to encourage all of us to try this week. Why not take someone in our church directory? If you've got the app on your phone, you can scroll through and find someone. If you've got a paper copy of the directory at home, find someone in the church directory that you can call and encourage this week. That you don't have, you call with no agenda. You're not asking that person to do something for you. You just call and say, I just wanted to check in and let you know that you're an encouragement to me. And just have a conversation. What would it be like if every member at Graymere did that this week? I think this is a time we could all use some encouragement, don't you? What if we did that? And how often can I start encouraging people before it becomes a habit in my life, before it becomes sort of a reflex, second nature, that I just naturally encourage others? That's a challenge for us. The Duke of Wellington, the British military leader who defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, was, by all reports, not an easy man to serve under. But he realized in his old age, he was quoted when a young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently if he had his life to live over again. He thought for a moment and replied, I'd give more praise. I'd be more encouraging. Let's make sure that that's not a regret we have, that we invest our words with life-giving meaning and that we share those with others. So there are a few questions we need to ask ourselves. Am I spending more time talking about someone than I am helping them? Am I spending more time talking about doing something rather than doing it? And am I spending more time sharing encouragement or sharing insults? The answer to those questions can really help us on our way to making our words count and to reflecting on what it means when we say things and the effect that those words will have in the lives of others. It may be that as you've listened to this, as you've thought about your own life, there are some changes you feel like you need to make. Again, words matter. And the words of a prayer that come to God and say, I need to change, I need to rededicate my life, are powerful. If you're a member at Graymere, we would love for you to contact one of our elders if you need prayers. If you're not a member at Graymere and you're watching this, maybe you're interested in prayers, or maybe you're interested in becoming a Christian, to turning your life around and putting Christ on in baptism. Please contact us through our website at graymere.com. Let the church office know. We would love to find a way that we can encourage you, a time we can sit down and study with you. We'd love to share with you the message that has transformed our own lives, the message of love God sent us through His Son. Let's make sure this week we make our words count in the lives of others and that we lead others to God.